you please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6? Joshua chapter 6. As you're turning there, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank President Moeller and Dr. Moore for the opportunity to preach Alumni Chapel at Southern Seminary. It is indeed an honor and a privilege. Joshua chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 15. And would you please stand for the reading of the words of our God? Joshua chapter 6. The Holy Spirit says to us, "On the seventh day they arose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was on that day that they marched around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers who we sent. But you, keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord.' So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, 'Go into the prostitute's house, and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her.' So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought out all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her Joshua saved alive. As she has lived, and she has lived in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Chapter 7, verse 1. "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we who were alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, can be made holy, blameless, and above reproach in Christ. We thank you that we have hope in his resurrection, and we pray for ears to hear this morning. Amen. You may be seated. He weighed about 300 pounds. He was huge and had a commanding presence. Jacob was the first person I met as the new youth pastor of a small rural church in South Mississippi. It became pretty obvious very early that Jacob was going to be one of the most involved people that I would have in my youth group. Jacob was always there. He was always early. He was always showing up to help. And this provided me with a lot of opportunity to do many things and projects around the church. Jacob always also brought with him his best friend, a little punk emo kid who wore tight girl blue jeans and had multiple colored hair, Wade. Jacob was my apprentice, and Wade was my project. And then the day came when I was sitting in my office on a Wednesday preparing for that evening's message, and Wade came knocking on my door. He was crying, and immediately, inwardly, I began to think, this is it. This is the opportunity that we have all been waiting for. This is what we've all been praying for. Wade will believe the gospel, for Wade to understand and to become a Christian, and he will be more like Jacob. And he'll be like Jacob and all the people who are in the youth group who are with him. But Wade began to unfold for me some horrible events that were taking place, and how Jacob, the star athlete, Jacob, the leader of the youth group, Jacob, the one who everyone always wanted to be around, was sleeping with his girlfriend. And Wade didn't know what to do about it. He came to my office that day seeking help. So Wade, crying in my office, comes speaking to me. And I was thinking to myself, this one who I never thought would get it, this one who I never thought would believe, he does get it. Similarly, when we come to the book of Joshua, especially as we come to chapter 6, we're introduced to a woman, Rahab, whom no one would ever think would be the one to get it. No one would ever have thought that she would be a recipient of God's mercy, and no one would have ever thought that she would have been qualified to have an inheritance among the people of God. But the scripture tells us that she did. And the scripture begins to unfold for us a series of events about this lying prostitute. Notice again in Joshua chapter 6, verse 15 with me. On the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of the day, and they marched around the city. And in the same manner, they marched around the city seven times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city. Now consider what's been happening in Israel's history up to this point. 40 years prior, they had been delivered from Egypt. And 40 years prior, they had seen the water come crashing down upon their enemies as they were miraculously delivered. 40 years prior, the Lord had spared their children and Egypt's children had been destroyed. And even after all of that, they come to the edge of this promised land and they act faithlessly, the scripture tells us in Numbers chapter 13. But even then, the Lord showed patience with them. And now here they are again on the verge of taking the land after crossing the Jordan in an Exodus-like fashion. And before they go into Jericho, the Lord gives them this unbelievable battle plan. Toot some horns and worship as you march around the city, and the walls will fall down flat. And so that's exactly what they do. And here on the seventh day, they're doing it seven times. But notice also that the scripture tells us that there's this belabored emphasis of judgment that's going to come upon these Gentiles. Read with me in verse 16. And at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to destruction." And in verse 18, "But keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction." And then in verse 21, "Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys with the edge of the sword." And in verse 24, "And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Every person must be killed. Every animal must be slaughtered. All treasure must be pillaged and taken in the name of the God of Israel. Everybody is going to die." And God's wrath is poured out upon these Gentiles. And God delivers the people of Israel yet again, like he did against the kings of the Amorites. And his judgment is poured out upon this pagan nation. But notice amidst all of this destruction and all of this mayhem and chaos that there's this mysterious exception that the scripture continues to repeat to us over and over again. Notice again in verse 17. "Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent." Notice again in verse 22. "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all who belonged to her. And then in verse 25. "But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive." And what is most shocking at this time is not the countless lives that are abruptly ended in Joshua chapter 6, but the fact that we are not astonished by Rahab's salvation. Repeatedly, the scripture is letting us know that she is pardoned, that she is spared, but she is the last person that anyone would ever expect to receive an inheritance. Over and over and over again, the scripture is identifying her as the prostitute. And surely all the Israelites would know that the law condemns loose women. And all of us know that the New Testament says the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. See Galatians 6. But amid even in all of this, the Lord gives her mercy. And the scripture tells us that this lying harlot receives an inheritance among the people of God because she believed a report of the spies from 40 years prior. When they come to her in chapter 2, verse 10, she tells them that they had heard of what the Lord had done in Egypt and how they were delivered, and that they have heard of what he had done to the kings of the Amorites and how he delivered them, and their hearts are melting. And her belief in that promise and her hiding the messengers is what brings her this deliverance. And only one family, only her family, is spared from this holy genocide. Like Rahab, there are many people in this room. Some of you, no one would have ever thought to receive God's mercy. People lying, some of you sexual sin and affairs maybe, awful and heinous sins that have happened in your life. And yet, the scripture is telling us that God's mercy in some small seed form is going out to the Gentiles at this time, and that the mystery that Paul speaks of later, that is hidden for ages and generations, right now is going to Rahab as she receives God's mercy and is delivered from this judgment. But not only is she delivered, the scripture later would tell us that this very same Rahab in Matthew 1:5 is grafted into the lineage of Jesus Christ. That she becomes an ancestor of Israel's greatest king, David, and that she becomes an ancestor of Jesus Christ. And the scripture would later identify Rahab as a woman of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 for hiding the spies. And the scripture would also, again later, in James 2:25, say that she was justified by her works because she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. Now, as we come to the end of Joshua 6, we would expect, amidst this chaos, and amidst this great deliverance, to read a further military triumph and conquest. And we would expect to read a further military domination by the Israelites. But notice what the scripture says in chapter 7, verse 1. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For the son of Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. There is an unexpected defeat brought upon by an unexpected sinner. And at this time, when the sin is still hidden, notice what Joshua does, not knowing what has taken place among his people. In chapter 7, verse 2. So Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not have all the people go up there, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people go up and toil there, for they are few." Now consider this report. 40 years prior, they go out and they come back and they report faithlessly. And now, here they are. Don't take the whole army. Just take a few people. Now we'll just take only a few thousand men. We can take these people. And so they go, not knowing what has taken place. And about 3,000 men went up from there to the people of Ai, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gates as far as the Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. The mighty Israelite nation that had just flattened Jericho and made the entire nation's hearts melt. Now their hearts melt as they turn their backs before their enemies. Because of this one man's sin, reproach is brought upon the entire nation of Israel. And because of this one man, this one Israelite, this one unexpected candidate, Achan. The scripture repeatedly identifies Achan from the tribe of Judah. The chosen tribe from which the scripture would tell us that the scepter would never depart from that tribe. Achan is a descendant or an ancestor of Israel's greatest king, David. And Achan is an ancestor of Jesus Christ. And at this time, consider the irony of what is happening here. That at this time, while they're standing in Jericho with the walls around them and the fires of war are smoldering around them, that he would reach his hand out and he would grasp and take an inheritance for himself. He would not wait. Now, think of what Joshua does here. After all of the sin that is taking place in this one unexpected sin, Joshua, the scripture tells us in verse 6, that he tears his clothes, he falls to the earth, and the ark of the Lord is before him until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into their hands? Give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we have been content to dwell beyond the Jordan." Now consider how irrational Joshua is being here. It would have been better for us to dwell beyond the Jordan. It would have been better for us to dwell in a place that was not God's land. It would have been better for us to stay in the land of Egypt, sounding a lot like them when they came out after the Exodus. It would have been better for us to never have had any of this happen at all, to never have been delivered. "Would that we have been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" What will the Lord do? And notice what the Lord tells Joshua at this time. Shut up. The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I have commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. And I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Achan's sin has not happened in a vacuum. Achan's sin has corrupted the entire nation at this very unlikely time. And even now, as they're seeing conquest, they're seeing blessing, the deceitfulness of riches and the deceitfulness of the human heart take over, and there's this sin that corrupts everyone. But the Lord speaks in the plural to the entire nation. Even after they have received all of this great deliverance. Now, Achan at this time has probably thought that he had gotten away with it and probably made no connection that because of his sin, 36 men are destroyed. 36 men have died. The ground did not open up as it did at Korah. The Lord did not strike them dead as he would Ananias and Sapphira years later. Similarly, there are some in this room, there are sins in your life that you think no one has seen and that no one hears and no one is noticing. The rage that you have against your wife behind closed doors, and no one seems to notice. No one seems to care. Or the fact that in your heart you think your husband is a fool. No one seems to notice. No one seems to care. No one seems to pay attention to your flirtatious actions at work when your spouse is away. No one is paying attention. No one is striking you dead. Nothing is happening. And even at this time, as the sin is hidden and Achan is probably not thinking of anything that's going on, the people are being destroyed. But the scripture tells us and reminds us later over and over and over again that someone does see, that someone does hear, that someone is indeed watching, and he is paying very careful attention to what is happening in our life. And just as Achan thought that he had gotten away with it, we can be fooled into thinking that we will get away with the sin that no one seems to notice. But notice what the Lord tells them to do, that they are disposed to now destroy the devoted things that have come among them. And what has been devoted for destruction now is Achan and his family and everything that belongs to him. The scripture tells us in verse 12, therefore the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies, and the Lord begins to unfold for them to tell them what they will do. So Joshua in verse 16 rises early in the morning and brought the people of Israel near, tribe by tribe. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the clans of Judah. And the clan of the Zerites was taken. And he brought near the clan of the Zerites, man by man. And Zabdi was taken. And he brought near his household, man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Now at this point, all of us, according to Matthew 18, would expect that if Achan owns the sin, that if he repents and if he confesses and if he admits it, that he would be restored. But after being confronted by Joshua, this one who probably thought he had gotten away with it and probably thought that no one had noticed and no one had seen, still has to die. Notice what the scripture says in verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. The tragic thing is that Achan doesn't even get to enjoy the very things that he grasped for, the very things that he reaches out and takes for himself. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the people of Israel, and they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the cloak, and the bar of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his donkeys, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord bring trouble on you today. And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned him with fire, and they stoned him with stones. Now, this is the problem that we have with this passage, is that we don't function like this anymore. And President Mueller surely would not tell us that this is the way to get on the list of fastest growing churches in North America. If you come to our church, and we find out that you have sinned, we will pile stones on your head and set you on fire. No one is commending that right now. So what do we do? Turn with me to Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. And keep your finger in Joshua, please. Now, the Lord has been speaking through the prophet Hosea, speaking about the judgment that is going to come on the Israelites because of their unfaithfulness, because of their sin and their idolatry. But now he's about to speak of the mercy that they're going to receive. In verse 14, we'll begin reading there. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall receive mercy as in the days of her youth and as at the time when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth. And they shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And in that day I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel, and I will sow her for myself in the land. And I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. Now think of the imagery that they would hear here. Wilderness. This is bad for Israel. Surely this conjures up time of wandering and faithlessness and disobedience. They're going to hear Jezreel. And the prophet Hosea tells us in 1:5 that that is the place where the judgment of God will be poured on them because of their sin. And then the valley of Achor. Surely they all know the story by now. Achan, from the tribe of Judah, is remembered in their history as the great troubler of Israel for bringing death and destruction upon the camp in Chronicles. And he is because he broke faith in regard to the devoted things. All of these are places where sin seemed to have prevailed. All of these are places where the evil one seemed to have triumphed. But now, that valley, the valley of trouble, the valley of Achor, will be a door of hope for them. A place where they will respond favorably. As in the days when they came up out of the land of Egypt. How? Consider what is happening in redemptive history from Joshua to Hosea and beyond. That Joshua, like Jesus, is a warrior king leading the people. And Joshua, like Jesus, is indeed leading the people. And Joshua, like Jesus, is judging the people. But Joshua, unlike Jesus, is not able to die for the sins of Achan like Jesus Christ does for us. And even after Achan confessed his sin, he still had to receive the consequences for that sin, judgment and death. And now the Valley of Achor is a place of hope for us because that judgment that is indeed poured out is no longer poured out onto us, but it will be poured out instead on Jesus Christ. And thus it makes the valley of Achor a door of hope for all who will repent and believe. Indeed, one greater than Joshua has come. And this is why Paul will later tell us to purge the evil person from our midst. But no longer do we do this with stones and fire. Instead, we set them apart in hopes that they may be saved. The Lord will no longer relate to us the way that he did in the days of old. He will relate to us through the one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. The Valley of Achor becomes a door of hope for us through Jesus Christ. And that place, which certainly would recall thoughts of judgment and hardship and death, thoughts of anguish and defeat, now because of the cross becomes a door of hope. And notice that the scripture says that they will receive the ultimate blessing. They will lie down in safety. They will receive eschatological rest in a world full of murder and rape and mayhem and tsunamis and tornadoes and oil spills. They will lie down in safety in their God. Now go back to Joshua chapter 7, please. Verse 26. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Rahab remained among the people of Israel from that day until the writing of this text. And there was a reminder for them from that day till the writing of this, that one died among them. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is the Valley of Achor. 8:1. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you. Arise and go up to Ai. I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai, and his people and his city and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves." The very thing that Achan grasps for, the very thing that he pines for and brings death and destruction upon the camp and upon his entire family, is given to the people of Israel for those who waited. No one was expecting Wade to be the one who was going to get it. He never showed up with a Bible. He never seemed to care. Jacob was surely not expecting to be caught. The scripture is reminding us today that God does indeed see all things, the things that no one in this room thinks anyone sees, and we will be called to account. But the scripture is also reminding us that God will indeed show mercy to the outcast, and that there is hope for everyone through faith in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ alone, one who is greater than Joshua. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that there is hope in the cross. Father, we do thank you right before Easter that there is hope of future resurrection from the dead if we will come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray for the person in here, Father, today that is struggling and is hiding. Lord, I pray that you would encourage their heart and lift them up, and Lord, that they would repent and cling to Christ. Father, I pray for the person in here who feels so unworthy that they would recognize that they are righteous and justified and forgiven in Christ. Father, we do thank you for being able to hear your word. We pray that we would never take that privilege for granted. In Christ's name, amen.